Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast that brings you the latest news and interviews inside the Debian community. Brought to you by FrostbiteSystems.com, providing desktops and notebooks pre-installed with Debian. Every purchase from Frostbite Systems, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to Debian and help support this great project. So stop on by FrostbiteSystems.com and get your Frostbox today. Hey, thanks for listening. But before we get into the interview, I want to mention a sponsor that we have this week. It's MobileTide. MobileTide is a website that gives you great deals on cell phones. And if you're looking for some Android deals right now, these guys have some awesome deals. If you want to get a Droid X, you can get one for $20 with a 2-year contract. Or you can get the Droid Incredible for free with a 2-year contract. And the greatest deal is one that I unfortunately can't mention, but what I can say is the R2-D2 version of the Droid 2. Go to frostbitemedia.org/mobiletide. Go there, put the R2-D2 phone into your shopping cart, and you'll see the price. It's the cheapest one I've ever seen. And I just want to thank MobileTide for sponsoring us. And go check out frostbitemedia.org/mobiletide. Here's the interview. Hello, welcome to This Week in Debian. Today we are speaking with Raphael, also known as Bugsy on IRC. He's the co-maintainer of the DPKG. Raphael, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you.
So, Raphael, before we get too far into the interview, I'd like to ask everyone in the interview is, how did you first get involved into Linux?
Oh, that was a long time ago, 30 years ago. Well, actually, it's not really Linux that interested me, but Perl. I was the webmaster for an association, and I had a lot of static HTML pages to update. And I asked for help because, well, it was tedious work. And someone replied to me, okay, run this Perl script, it will do all the work for you. And I was so amazed.
What?
So I started Perl on Windows, and a few months later on Usenet, someone told me, you know, Perl is working much better on Linux. And I said, huh, what's Linux? So this guy told me, well, you know, Perl is integrated in Debian, in the base system, so maybe you should try out Debian. And I tried, and I was scared, and I went away. And I tried various distributions, and after a few months, I came back to Debian and stayed.
Wow, so have you've pretty much been using Debian, like, since the existence of Debian then, right?
Well, not exactly. When I joined, there were already more than 200 developers, but yeah, it's a long time ago. It was, I guess, 5 years after the birth of Debian.
Oh, okay. That's still, you're around since the start of it, really, then. Wow.
So it was 98.
Okay, yeah. So then you said you tried a few distros, and then you came back to Debian and stayed there. Like, did you notice much of a difference in Debian from when you tried it and then when you came back to it? Was there a reason why you came back to it and stayed?
Well, it was more a matter of philosophy. I was a student, and I wanted to help and hack, and clearly, Debian was the distribution used by a hacker, and the distribution where you could really make a difference because, well, you were in power, if you want. There was no external company which was making the decision for you. So
yeah.
So I started there, and I immediately started looking for what I could do with my Perl knowledge, and so I adopted a few Perl packages, and I corrected all the bugs, and that was my strategy at the very first years.
Yeah,
and from there on, I found lots of stuff to do in Debian and made lots of stuff.
So I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you're the co-maintainer of DPKG. Can you tell our listeners what DPKG is and what it does?
Well, it's the basic package manager of the distribution. So every time that you call the APT to install a new software, it will call DPKG in the background to install the files and to record everything in the system. Well, yes, it's really the package manager.
So, what is the relationship of APT to DPKG? Is because instead of typing like app-get install, you could type DPKG and then the package name, couldn't you? So, what's the relationship between those two things?
Well, exactly. Like you said, DPKG has no knowledge of available packages, it's really more a basic tool. You give it a package and it installs it on the system, or you give it a name of an installed package and it can remove it or purge it. It won't auto install dependencies if you try to install a package. And it has missing dependencies, it will fail and tell you, okay, you need first to install this and this.
Okay.
On the other hand, APT knows all the packages that are available, and if you install one, it will grab all the dependencies, install the dependencies first with the help of DPKG, and then the package that you want. And APT also knows how to do upgrades. Of all the package together, while DPKG is only able to upgrade a package by package or a small set of package by a small set of package.
Okay, so
Actually, it's a simplification that I make because DPKG has a small knowledge of available software, but it's mainly in relation to the older deselect interface,
okay.
which is not really used. Well, it's still used by some people, but not really advised for new users.
So, also, will DPKG only work if you have, like, say, the file on your system, right? DPKG doesn't work with, like, the repositories like app does. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So that's kind of another.
APT downloads files and hands it over to DPKG.
Okay. So apps can grab the stuff from the repo and install it and also resolve dependencies, but DPKG needs you to have that. So if you're going to install a piece of software, you need it on your system already. And it will then install, and like you mentioned, it won't find any dependencies either. It'll just tell you, hey, you need this and you need this if you want to install this.
Yeah.
Okay.
DPKG unpacks the file on system, records them so that you can remove them afterwards, runs the maintainer scripts that comes with package and does all sort of, well, verification and integration, but that's it.
Okay. And then I think I read when I was reading up on the work that you're doing that you're trying to do some different things with DPKG to like make it faster and stuff. Is there can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there are lots of projects on DPKG. We have a roadmap online on the wiki at wiki.debian.org/teams/dpkg/roadmap. Right now, we have a few big projects. The first one, which I'm working on right now, is the multi-arch. It's the possibility to install a package from another architectures. For end user, it's mostly interesting. For example, if you run a system with the AMD 64 architecture and you want to install Skype, which comes only as a 32-bit package, currently you can't install it without using force option and with multi-arch, we'll be able to make coexist package from two architects on the same computer,
That's
and
cool.
APT will be able to resolve dependencies of foreign package as well. So that's an important development also for embedded developers, where we frequently need to co-install package from various architectures for cross building and or simply because the CPU is able to run in multiple mode well like we had recently a transition from architecture ARM to ARML. It's a low engine version of ARM. And well, basically we told people you reinstall from scratch because it's not easy to move from one to the other. With multi-arch, it will be possible to move from one to the other by installing progressively packets from the new arch over and so on. So
that's really cool. So then if someone's using, like you said, the 64 AMD 64-bit and there's not something available in a 64-bit, then they can just install the x86.
Yeah, and it will be able to resolve dependencies. I mean, if you get, it's mostly the problem with like, a commercial or proprietary application when they distribute only their stuff in for one architectures, and you just can't install it. We had the problem with the Flash plugin as well. It was only available on i386, and
yeah.
And so AMD 64 user really blocked, and well, in theory, now it will be possible to install it.
So if you were running some like embedded systems with Debian, and this this wasn't like if this DPKG was able to handle that on this embedded system, you could then install like i386 programs on the embedded system.
Well, no. Well, it depends. I mean, you can't make run anything everywhere.
Right. Right.
The CPU needs to be able to emulate the instructions. So basically, Intel or PC 32 bits and 64 bits are compatible, but
yeah.
You won't be able to run something from one other architecture.
Is there any other architectures that are close, like are ARM, or is like ARM and like MIPS, are those like similar at all, or that those aren't compatible at all?
Well, actually, I should add that we can still install other architectures on the PC, but then we'll have to use an emulator.
Okay.
Not native, not the native CPU.
Okay.
But it's possible.
Is there anything else that's on the roadmap that's?
Well, yes. We want to build libdpkg, a library, so that APT can install package using this library instead of forking dpkg as an external program. It should give him more control and less overhead, but it's gonna take quite a few times still because we're cleaning up the API before, and it needs lots of updates.
Man, just those two things alone sounds like you have your work cut out for you with just those two things planned for DPKG. I can't imagine that's a easy task to take care of.
True. I'm giving big projects, so it's sort of stuff where we could work full time on it. But there's many small wishlist bugs as well if people want to join and start with a smaller task. Another project that has been hanging around for a long time is improving the handling of configuration file. Right now, you have questions from time to time. Do you want to update your configuration file with the new version provided by the maintainer?
Mm.
It's not very smart. It's a yes/no answer. Nowadays, we're using a version control system much more, which are know how to merge stuff. So we should really provide something similar. I mean, we should make it easier for maintainers to merge the changes in the updated configuration file instead of requiring them to do this manually.
Yeah, and I also read that it looked like this was just sort of not really being worked on just yet, but it was an idea, like sort of using dbkg to be able to perform like a rolling release of Debian. Was I reading that correctly?
I don't see the relationship between the rolling release and the dpkg. For me, the rolling release is simply a distribution like testing, which is updated every day. And we don't need changes to dpkg for this.
Oh, okay. I just read it like on your blog that you're mentioning something about the Debian rolling release, but I didn't know if that
Yeah,
was I
it's
didn't know
something
if that
that I'm
was tied in.
interested in. It's one of my projects for this year. I don't know if this is what where you read this. We have there's a project that's called Constantly Usable Testing, which we discussed on a mailing list and while during DevConf. And I would like to see this project go through, and it includes a rolling release, so it's a testing-like distribution, but really advertised for end users with the sort of best support that we can provide for this kind of distribution. But it will have implication on the or stable release process, and while it needs further discussion first, and also some work to make it a reality.
Yeah, I guess that would be harder on the stable release, because if you have a rolling release, you can't really freeze a rolling release, because then it doesn't become a rolling release.
Well, you can freeze a rolling release, you do that by making a copy at a snapshot
Oh,
at
I
some
see.
point, and then you stabilize. Precisely the point of the rolling release is that there's no freeze for the end user, because if the user has chosen this distribution, it's because he always wants the latest and greatest, even if Debian is in freeze because we want to prepare a stable release.
I see. I guess you could take a snapshot and then branch it off and then build the stable off the snapshot and leave the rolling release going.
Yeah, constantly usable testing as this snapshot IDE first, because well, people need installation media, CD, DVD to be able to install Debian, and there's no way to install testing directly. So usually people install stable and then upgrade to testing. With Qt, the idea is to make snapshot of testing and use the snapshot to generate installation media. And from there on, people should have the choice either to go from snapshot to snapshot, so for example, every 2 months or 3 months, or to switch to the rolling release and update the package every day or whenever they feel.
So has that started to be worked on yet, or?
Well, it has seen lots of discussion, not much concrete stuff yet,
Okay.
but it's not much work. I mean, all the processes are already exist, and the installer exists. The main problem is the sort of having the project acknowledge the cut as something that we want to support, and decide precisely what kind of support we offer.
Okay.
Will the security team provide support or not? Will maintainer be able to opt out from cut? Because there are a few package where maintainers only support upgrade from stable to stable. They don't upgrade constant. They don't support constant upgrading testing.
Oh, okay.
They get bug reports and they make sure they are fixed for the next stable release, but they don't consider testing to be important. So,
I didn't know that.
it's difficult to draw a clear line. So
Yeah.
it needs further discussion, as I said.
Well, it's kind of funny though, because I mean, what Debian considers testing, like every other Linux distro considers stable. So
Well, that's true. I mean, there are already lots of testing users which are who are happy with it, and
yeah.
but officially we are not supporting testing users.
Yeah. It's just funny because every Linux, every derivative pretty much builds off of, testing or unstable. So, yeah,
The example I gave was for FusionForge. It's a very special package. It's a complicated one, mainly, well, you install it on a server to, FusionForge is a forge, so like SourceForge,
Oh yeah.
so it's really heavy on the integration with various other projects, Vue CVS and all the mailing list manager and stuff. So it's difficult to stabilize this in a moving environment. So the maintainer stabilize it for one release and the next release, but in the between, well, if there are glitches, he doesn't care much.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I made that point. If you got a package that's hard to not hard to maintain, but is quite large, you don't want stuff moving around all the time. There could be like an update to a library that breaks it one day and this and that. So I guess it does make it a lot simpler if you do concentrate on the stable release.
Yeah.
Now,
On the
ref.
other hand, there are very large packages. I don't think of Chromium, iSWIZZLE, which are moving fast. So
Yeah.
it's not only a question of size.
Well, Raphael, if anyone wants to get involved with helping out with DPKG or anything else around that realm, what is there a mailing list? Do you guys have an IRC channel? Like, where would someone go if they want to help out?
Yeah, we have both a mailing list and an IRC channel. You should start out with on the DPKG homepage on the wiki, wiki.debian.org/teams/dpkg. There's a link to the mailing list and to the IRC channel, and also a few suggestions of easy tasks, or not so easy tasks.
So
And
the so the
yeah,
so
also, yeah.
I was gonna say, so you have some like you said, easier tasks that someone could tackle if they want to try and see if it's something that they're interested in, instead of throwing them into the deep end of the pool and with something they might not be able to handle right away.
Well, it's true. You can pick a difficult task and you can pick easier one. The
Okay.
problem is to find it because, well, we give samples of stuff that you can do, but I mean, we have a section here, it's called Get Involved. One star, so relatively easy, is simply helping with triaging and reproducing bugs.
Okay.
We have 300 bugs. It's difficult to deal with them all. Some are probably no longer applicable. But if you can help us in this task, it's okay. And if you find a bug that you can reproduce, you can create a non-regression tests. That's also relatively easy to do. You just need to be able to create a sample package and write a few lines of shell or in a makefile. That's good. If you want to go further, you can of course provide patches, either for bugs or for wishlist bugs, which means new features. We have lots of requests for new features. both on dpkg, so this part is in C, or on dpkg-dev, this part is Perl, so it's maybe easier for people.
Okay.
For some people. Well, if you really want to do something big, then you can check out our roadmap and pick up a task. Well, on our roadmap, we have a multi-arch, so this one is being worked on. We had rewriting a bunch of programs in C so that dpkg doesn't need Perl anymore. So, but this one is finished since a few months. We have plans to merge back debconf into dpkg as well. So this is a big project. The configuration file support that I mentioned before. We want to merge back DebSense, so it's a little tool that can verify whether files have been modified since initial installation or not.
Oh, that's cool.
It's quite practical to detect corrupted files and stuff like that. Well, there are lots of projects. See
yeah.
If you want to help.
DPKG is definitely a powerful tool that does a whole lot. So,
well, and it's really a core package. A core package, and we're only two, so there's room. We used to be three, but one left, and nobody replaced him.
Man, yeah. So definitely go to the wiki, check it out, and if you guys know Perl or C, hop on in and give Raphael and the other maintainer some help and contribute to Debian, which is a fantastic project.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to monitor people. We recently had the Google Code Inst project. A few students came up with patches. I reviewed them and they have been merged. So, well, if you do stuff, you will see concrete results with patch merged with your name. And well, I know it's really important when you start. I remember 10 years ago, I made a non-maintainer upload on dpkg for something really ridiculous, but I was proud of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. You see your name next to it, and you're like, yeah, I did that.
So, yeah. You're welcome if you want to add.
Yeah, Raphael, thanks for your time. Is there anything else that you want to go over that we didn't get a chance to discuss?
Well, yes, maybe I would like just to mention my blog, because I've been actively writing articles on my blog for end users and for new contributors as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's a new orientation I try to give to my life, my professional life, I mean. I want to go more into writing documentation, earning money related to that. So check it out, and if you like it, just subscribe to the feed and keep up.
What's your blog address?
Well, it's RaphaelHerzog.com.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Planet Debian as well. So if you follow Debian, you read most of it. Not everything, but most of it.
All right, cool. Awesome. Is there a link to your blog from the DPKG wiki page or no?
Not directly.
Okay.
Not directly, no.
Okay. All right. Well, Raphael, thanks for your time, and I appreciate all the work that you do, and sounds like it definitely keeps you busy. So I appreciate all your hard work and dedication to free and open software and the Debian team.
Okay. Thank you for interviewing me, and I hope I will see you again. I hear you again in a few months.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely keep in touch.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your time, Raphael.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone, or you yourself, are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us so we can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbikemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.